You could open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue where I was last week. It was a two-part sermon, but it really didn't have to be done two parts. But I've just felt real impressed this morning to continue along those lines. And while you're turning there, we'll bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for unction from the Holy Ghost. And Father God, as people here, we pray that their hearts and their minds are receptive to the word of God, that you'll meet everyone at their point of need. And Father, we praise you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just start reading in verse 10 for a moment. We looked at this last week. We'll do a little quick review, and then we'll move on, okay? But it says here, it says in verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, that has to do with the authority that God's given us. In Luke chapter 10, he says, I've given you all authority. I've given you power over all the works of the devil. So now he tells us over here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he tells us in the next verse, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what we do, you know, we're not actually sitting down here on planet Earth in a boxing match with the devil. But where the devil does attack everyone all the time is in the mind. Amen. All right, so last week we started talking about how the devil operates in the mind and in the emotions. So it's not that, you know, we're fighting him in the physical. We're fighting principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. And what the devil will do is attack us in our mind. And we talked about that last week. So we went back to this verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And last week we looked at that for one moment. I just want to go back up there. Webster's dictionary defines wiles as a trick, a scheme, something meant to fool you. You know, you see that if you go over, like if you go up to the boardwalk and you go to the fun house, it's not real. It's a scheme. It's a trick meant to scare you. But we know that it's not real. So really, it scares little kids. But it doesn't, well, I guess it scares some grown-ups too, but it's fake. And see, the devil's a fake, a phony, and a fraud. Amen. And he will come and plant things in your head that are not true. All right? But that's what Webster says it is. In our verb, we said that word actually means with a road. See, the devil has only one way to get to us. He gets to us through our minds. All right? And we need to understand that with a road. And we looked at that. It's a method. The word wiles is where we get our word method from. He's got one method. And we looked at this last week, so please bear with me. All right? So, he comes with all these imaginary things. It might have been maybe something that happened in your life. But then he'll keep bringing that back to you. It's been dealt with. It's been done with. It's under the blood of Jesus. It's washed away. When Jesus hung on the cross, when Jesus went into the heavenly of heavenlies, presented his blood, your sins, your everything you did prior has been washed. And it's under the blood. Washed away. No, the devil has no right to bring it to you. Amen. That's why we have authority. You know, when we use that word authority, we have authority over the principalities, powers, and we kind of think, but we have authority over our mind. Yes. We have authority over our emotions. See, it all plays together. Mm-hmm. Do you follow me? Yes. And the more you stay in the Word of God, the stronger you become. Amen. And the more effective you are at dealing with these emotions and these imaginary tricks and schemes that the devil brings to you on a daily basis. And it's the truth, okay? He does. Last week, we used the illustration about getting in the car and not knowing where you're going. Well, the devil knows where he's going. He knows he's out to get you. You're a Christian. But you know what? The thing is, he's a fake, phony, and a fraud. So what are you going to believe, him or what God says? God says he's a fake, a phony, and a fraud. I defeated him. I made a show of him openly. I stripped him of all his power and all his authority. The only power and authority that he has in your life is what you give him through your thoughts. That's it. He's not going to come at you with a baseball bat because he's a spirit. He's not going to, you know, forget about watching movies like The Exorcist and all these movies that are out there. The devil is a spirit, and he will come at you through your mind. He's not going to come at you physically. Reason is, number one, he's a spirit, and number two, you're not that important to him. Don't want to burst your bubble, you know. Maybe if you're Oral Roberts, he might come at you physically some way, somehow, but he's going to come at you through giving you a thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, well, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, Satan's schemes. He's a schemer. He plays mind games with Christians, and we talked about this yesterday. I'm going to move on from there. But then, just to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, to cast down all imaginations. Say all. All imaginations that exalt itself against what? The knowledge of God. The words that are contained in this book. The promises that belong to you, the authority that's been given to you, the fact that you've been healed, the fact that Satan has been done away with, you've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. That's what we have to acknowledge. Not acknowledge the fake, phony, fraud thoughts that he comes at you with every single day. And he does that just to trip you up. Get you to worry. Worry's a sin. Do you know that? It's a sin. And people worry. And we don't have to go around with our heads in the clouds either, but we don't have to worry. Worry is when your stomach is upset, you can't eat, you feel like you got to puke because you're worrying about something. Just give it to God. It'll get done. It's just not going to get done when you want it to. But it'll get done when you need it to. It might not be when you want it, but it'll be when you need it. It'll be there. And we try to figure out, well, God's going to do it this way. Well, I was wrong. He's going to do it this way. I'm going to go down to Atlantic City, and I'm going to play the slot machine, and he's going to do it that way. He might. I used to think that. But that didn't work. Yes, anyway, praise the Lord. But it says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, his intellect, his mind, the mind games that he plays. So as we move on to today, open up to Mark chapter 11 in verse 23. And, you know, I know it's a familiar verse of scripture for a lot of people. But it's probably one of the most powerful verses about faith and confession that we have to use and claim as our own. You know, and what I want to do today, just for a little while, is prove that this principle not only works for us, but this principle works for the devil too. All right, and we know what it says, right? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. You know, and this verse of scripture, and I've taught on this a lot, and I always like to go back to the fact that this particular verse of scripture is for believers, but Satan will flip this verse around and use it against you. All right, so let's take a look at it. I had says that when you take this verse of scripture and you break it apart, he's certainly speaking to believers, every one of us in this room. All right, and Jesus is, and we have the word I say in there. We have the word says. We have the word says in there a few times, say and say, some form of that verb, but each one of them means something different to us, okay? Like you take, when he says, for assuredly, I'm going to use the New King James Version, for assuredly I say to you, what he's saying to us there, I am giving, in this verse of scripture, I am giving you building blocks, something to build on so you could come against the devil. You could come against the thoughts that are coming into your mind. I'm giving you a system. All right, there's a system that works for us, that whoever, who's a whoever, all right, we're all whoever, that says, that word says means command. It's the word epo, and it means command. Actually, the first say there, for surely I say unto you, it's the word Lego. How many know what Legos are? You know, my grandkids, I found out what Legos are. Well, I remember what they were when I was a kid, but they're building blocks. So he's given us building blocks. So the first building block he's given us in this verse, he goes, that whoever says or epos, or the word for that is the word command. Everybody say command.
Command.
Okay. To this mountain, whatever your mountain might be. I don't know what your mountain is this morning. I have mountains. I have little mountains, big mountains, Mount Everest mountains. So I've learned to speak to those mountains. Because if I don't speak to those mountains, Satan will come around and speak to me about those mountains and get me in the realm of worry, doubt, and unbelief. So I have to speak to those mountains, whether they're a little mountain or they're a big mountain. Amen?
Amen.
So it's, but he says, whoever commands, that tells me, the problem in my life has to obey me, because he's telling me whatever I command, but I have to command it. What happens is, I have to believe the word of God has given me authority to speak to that mountain, to command to that mountain with some type and certain authority to be removed and cast into the sea. If I don't believe that, if I'm just haphazard about that, it's what I said Wednesday night. If you were here, you should have been here. We didn't have a big crowd. It was a great message. All right, but we talked about, are these signs following you? We were talking about Mark chapter 16. Why aren't the signs following believers? It's real simple. It's not the unbeliever's fault to have the sign follow them. It's the believer has to believe that that sign is going to follow them. So we need to believe that when we speak to that mountain, it's going to be removed. It's not, let me tell you something about faith. Faith is not passive. Are you hearing? It's not passive. It's not, oh, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah. You don't want to, just, we'll come back here in a second. We're just talking about the blood of Jesus. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. It talks about the precious blood of Jesus. And some people, oh, well, the precious blood of Jesus. Like it's a precious moment statue. That's the way Christians treat it, because we take it for granted. It's like a little precious moments thing. That word precious means to honor. It's an honorable thing, the blood of Jesus. It's not a little precious moment thing you hang on a wall that says prayer changes things. We got to honor it. You know why? Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. Well, it all, so he says again, let's come back here. For assuredly I say to you that whosoever commands this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he epos or commands will be done, he will have whatever. Now we have another Greek word here. It's called lelo. It means whatever comes out of your mouth. Now this is pretty interesting. Like I said, this is not the first time I taught on this, but it's interesting. Whatever you believe, okay, in your heart, it's coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of your mouth. Whatever you believe. So if you believe you're going to get sick, that's like commanding you're going to get sick. Because you believe. I call it the mouth-heart connection. Whatever's in your heart and it comes out your mouth, brother, it's yours. Good, bad, or ugly, you're going to get it. And Satan knows that. So what's he going to try to do? He's going to play with your mind. All right? But he says, whoever commands will be done, and he will have whatever he says, whatever comes out of his mouth. Therefore, I say. In other words, he's actually reiterating the fact with that word say, because it's the word lego. Therefore, I am, he's basically saying, I am trying to get something across to you. I'm giving you building blocks. And to you, whatever you ask when you pray and believe that you have received them, you will have them. So again, we come back to this believing, understanding that Satan is going to try to make you believe things that are not true. They're false. Like the funhouse. It's all a facade. You know, when we were over on a beach, at the end of the day, we go up to this one office, and it just happens to be attached to the funhouse. And you can hear the people screaming going through there. You know? You just hear, like, ah! You hear elephants going, ooh, like, you know. And I'm thinking to my own, in my head, it's fake. It's fake. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know? They pulled the screen back, it was a little guy. That's Satan. He's a wimp. You have all the authority and there is the. You have the name of Jesus. But if you don't know what the Word of God says, if you're not meditating in it, it doesn't matter what authority you have. You know, there's a certain amount of authority I have when I work up on the beach. There's just a certain amount of authority that I have that I could do things. Not because the boss says I could make these decisions. And those that don't have authority to make those decisions have to call me. You know, whether you're going to give somebody a refund on something or whatever the decision might be. But I've been given authority. A policeman has been given authority. Tom is up there because he's a security. He has authority. He has more authority than me because you know why? He's packing a gun. I don't carry a gun, you know? But he has authority. And if he tells that person, get off the beach, and if they don't listen to him, there's what they call District 2, which is the Point Pleasant Police Department. They have authority over him. And if they come on the beach, trust me, you're out of there. Except you won't be walking off nicely. You'll be walking off handcuffed. So, but there are realms of authority. And but what Jesus did is give all of us the same authority over the devil. I don't have more authority than you. You don't have more authority than me. What makes one person seem as though they have more is because they know more. Their mind is filled with the word. So Satan has a really tough time trying to fool them. But if your mind isn't filled with the word, then it's easy for him to trick you. Simple, not difficult. Praise God. And so, according to what Jesus teaches us, whatever you say and believe in your heart. But what I told you, it also works on the positive side and it works on the negative side. Okay? If I believe that Jesus purchased healing for me, and I speak that, it's positive. Here's what happened. Creative power is released when your heart and mouth get into agreement. There's a lot of people that speak out of their mouth, but they don't believe it in their heart. There's no power there. Absolutely zero. But it's when the creative power is when the heart and the mouth are in agreement. That's when you see the power. And we see so many people saying things because they heard someone else say it. Well, it worked for sister so-and-so. It worked for brother so-and-so. I know. Because they believed and confessed it. Reminds me of the story one time this happened at Rhema. I don't know if Daryl was there or not, but somebody went to see Brother Hagin. And apparently God spoke to someone's heart to give their car away, and God was going to give them a new one. Now, this person was an individual person. God spoke to this person. And they did. They gave their car away and got a new car. Well, another, am I telling the story right there? Because you like we're close with Brother Egan. Anyway, so the other person says, wow, I'm going to give my car away. He walked for the next 8 months. But here's the story. He went to Brother Hagin. And he asked Brother Hagin, he said, how come so-and-so gave their car away? And they got a new car. He said, I gave mine away. And I didn't get one. He goes, well, did God tell you to give your car away? He said, no. He says, well, happy trails to you. You know, basically, he would say something like that, too. God told him. We can't do something because somebody else did it. Because we read a testimony in the Word of Faith or some magazine that so-and-so did that. God told them to do that. Yes. You have to do what God tells you to do. You know, God tells me and my wife to do certain things all the time. And we always get blessed when we do what God tells us to do. When we do something because we think it's nice. But we might be sitting in a restaurant and the Lord will say, pay that person. We don't even know the people. Go pay their bill. Then you get this like head game going because the devil's good with mind games in the beginning. I don't even know them. But God didn't ask you if you knew them. He said, pay their bill. And you pay their bill. You know what? Down the road, things happen. Amen. I remember one time we was out with Mark Hankins in Oklahoma, and the bill came. It must have been 6 minutes. It was like, I forget how much it was, $150. So if you all don't know Mark Hankins, he's not bashful. He made everybody put up $25 to give the waitress a tip to bless her. She got a bigger tip than what the bill was. But you're blessing somebody, man. Ah, well, hallelujah. So, but anyway, that's why we have to be careful of what we believe in our heart and what we say with our mouth. That's why we have to be careful of what we're putting in. You know, there is so much negative news in the world today. And enough of that starts getting into you. And you start confessing everything the world says. Well, you know what the Bible says? These things are going to come to pass. Don't worry. I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus said about everything that's happening today. But we're going, ooh, let's stay home. Let's not go out. Let's not. Jesus says, let your heart not be troubled. These things are coming to pass. Behold, I have overcome them. So if Jesus has overcome them, you have. And let me ask you this question. Just throwing it out. What's the worst thing that could happen? You'll be in heaven. And God will... If, but if you're led by the Spirit, God will guide you. But if you sit and worry... You know, I told the story when we were coming home from Sicily. We were in the airport in Catania. And you know, on this... This is how nuts it could be in foreign countries. Big TV screens. I mean, we're talking big. Like at Yankee Stadium-sized TV. And what are they showing? Istanbul Airport blown up. People are standing in line. Happening to go to different airports, and they're showing them carrying people out in body bags. And you're right away the devil comes and says, this ain't the USA, my friend. So you ask God, God, do I stay in this line or do I get out of here? And he'll tell you, if you have peace, you stay in line. That's all. But it's, am I right? Was that like, and if we're, the funny part was we're in the line to go to Munich, Germany, and the line next to us is Istanbul. And there was nobody in that line. There wasn't even the person behind the counter in that line. I says, why are we, God, I wish it was on the other side of the airport going to Munich. It's here. Praise God. But you have all these opportunities like to really get nervous and worry and it'll ruin your life. You know, when the government says, don't worry, live life as normal. You can't unless you have Jesus. You know, so we have to be careful of what we're believing, what we're hearing. You know, there was a... And so I says this verse applies to the negative realm too. And the devil will use this principle against you. You say, how? By filling you with doubt and unbelief, with lies that you believe, and coaxing you to start to confess them. You know, those things, those lies that are in your mouth, and before you know it, you believe it, and you'll see them start to come to pass in your life and in your family's life. So that's why he wants to fill your mind so vividly. You know, I don't understand these movies that they all want it. It's all about like paranormal stuff. Man, kids and people want to go see them. And, you know, they're just letting the devil fill you. You're just letting Satan fill you up with stuff. I'd rather watch a good comedy. I could always work that in to a sermon. But just think about it. And I look at that and go, who wants to go see these goofy movies? Goofy people. Well, I'm one of them. Sorry, goofy. Maybe you put the G in goofy. I don't know. But this gives him an opportunity to paint lies so vividly in your mind that you think they're real. And it assaults you, your mind and your emotions over and over and over and over again. And he knows if he can get you to embrace this, then you'll start speaking it out of your mouth as though it's true. Let me give you an example. Years ago, what were the old Clint Eastwood movies? When he would drive the cars through the streets. Dirty Harry movies. How many saw Dirty Harry movies? Now we all know how old you are. All right. But be honest, men, not the women so much, but men, be real honest. When you watch those Dirty Harry movies and they're going through San Francisco over the mountains and the cars flying through the air, how many of you left the movie theater and thought you were Dirty Harry. And start driving like him. Because that's what happens. It's what happens. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but still, you start watching all this negative, evil, you know, stuff. Scary, fearful stuff. It's going to build up in your heart. And you could call me crazy. You could call me stupid. But let me tell you something. I'm right. Okay? Just so you leave here today and you go, I am right. Because that's what it's going to do. The evil, scary stuff is going to build up in your heart. He's, oh, he's crazy. But I'm right. And I don't mind to tell you. Thought I was wrong once, but my wife said, no, you were right. So. Jesus did. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help me. That's too much sun this week. Too much heat. Anyway, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And don't feel bad. I'm looking at it and reading it wrong, okay? See, whatever in your heart eventually is going to come out of your mouth. So, you need to guard your heart. Guard your heart. You know, here's what you need to do. Since it releases so much power when your heart and mouth will start working together, it makes it even more important that you put the right things in your heart. Because that's where the creative power is in your life. And Mark chapter 11, verse 23, promises that whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, it will come to pass. And it doesn't talk about just, you know, it's really, it doesn't say, if assuredly I say to you that whoever says the Bible promises, doesn't say that. Whatever comes out of your mouth doesn't say only the Bible promises. If it said only the Bible promises, then we could say anything we want. And when we spoke the Bible promises, things would happen. But whatever comes out of your mouth, ever, everybody say ever. So the point I want you to get to start thinking, okay? Start thinking. You know, again, yesterday we had that storm that came through and we were on the beach and I kept looking at it and all the higher-ups over there said, oh, it's only going to last 5 minutes. It's only going to last 5 minutes. And I know one thing. I got 4 credit card machines that cost a lot of money. They can't get them wet. And they're going, just everybody stay in place. Stay under your, whatever, your little canopy there. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the clouds coming, I'm going, bro. And I said, and I just made a decision. Get the credit card machines. And I tell you, it wasn't 2 minutes later. Lightning, thunder, rain. Lifeguards yelling at people to get off the beach, beach umbrellas blowing into the ocean. It was like, I tell you, we were up in the office and we looked, that looked like Beirut. There's people, stuff blown everywhere. It was came out of just like that. No use to get scared over it. Use a little wisdom. Sue did. They told her, stay under you. Your shelter. She said, right. She grabbed her stuff. Pew! Away she went. Good job. Finally, I told her where to go. Go in the room over there. You'll be safe. And it'll be air conditioned. Praise God. I didn't mean to get sidetracked. But let's, you know, I don't want to spend all day. It is, though, a scientific fact. That what you verbally say out of your mouth verifies and empowers itself in your mind. How many's ever taken like Rosetta Stone and all those courses? You know, what did they show you a picture? You verbalize it. You show you a picture, you verbalize. How did you learn the two times tables? And before, this is before computers and calculators for the older people here. Flashcard, right? They flashcard you, you know? Because what you say, it empowers your mind and you remember it. Are you following me? Well, that's why the devil wants you to repeat every stupid thing you've ever he puts in your heart. He wants you to repeat it because by you repeating it, verifies it in your psyche, and you'll speak it out of your mouth, and it builds a stronghold in your mind. You know, I always gave the illustration, I had an aunt who was in a car accident. And she got this stronghold in her mind that her clothes didn't fit her. Her clothes fit her perfectly. Joanne's a witness. It sent her crazy, basically. She basically lost her mind over her clothes didn't fit her. Dwelt on it. Thought, I used to tell her, Antony, come on, man. You know the word of God. You know better. My clothes don't fit. Look how baggy they are. They're not baggy. He'll wreak havoc in your life. You know why? There's a little saying I have. What you hear is what you see. And these words that we say paint a picture. Those strongholds will start painting pictures. And it all has to come back to thoughts. So what do we have? We have Ephesians chapter 6. The wiles of the devil, the tricks, the schemes, the things that are not true. That all happens in your mind. It's all in the thought realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. You know, his schemes, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down all imaginations, all thoughts, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And whatever controls your mind, whatever thoughts are controlling your mind, will also control your emotions. And whatever controls your emotions has the supreme power to affect your self-image, your marriage, your friendships, your relationships, and how you project yourself to other people. Think about it. The Bible tells us to renew our minds to the Word of God. You know, that's why it's important for you to spend time in the Word of God. Just look at it. Just read you a couple of verses of scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Put off the old man. Put on the new man that is renewed in the image of God. We need to change our image. You know, you watch all this stuff on television. You know, what do they call it? It's the plastic, you know, the stuff to put on your face, you know. Regenerist, that's it. You know, you want to, it only works. It started working in 3 hours. And then you see the person next week and they're like, they're, you know, my stepbrother's a plastic surgeon, you know. It's like, people want to change their image. Change your heart. And your image will change. My wife, did you tell a story when we were in Sicily? I'll tell a story. No. We were in Sicily. We were by Angela's relative's house. And it was our sister's birthday. For all of you know, my wife don't care that I'm going to tell you this. She's 68. I'm 42. So she married the babe, but anyway, We're in there, and there was one of the relatives' mother, I guess it was the mother, asked. Right. Well, they don't know Horacio, but yeah, Horacio's married to Angela's niece. So his mother is talking in Italian, and I don't know what. And also, I saw the woman go, "Nah." So she goes. I said, "Angela, what's she saying? Interpret." She says she wanted to know how old Carol was. I guess it's because I looked so old. I don't know. The problem was there. She said she was 68, and a woman would not believe she's 68. And Angela says that's because Jesus is in her heart. This woman was 63. She looked like she was 78. There's a difference. When you have Jesus in your heart, her best friend, they're the same exact age. You put them next to each other, there's a marked difference in them. And her friend goes, "What is it?" And she goes, "It's called Jesus. His name is Jesus. The love of God. Not walking in hate against people." That'll age you. So, but anyway, God's word. So, I know. For another time. Just let me close it up with this, okay? God's word will bring supernatural cleansing to your entire life. It will change you. It'll change your emotions. It'll rid you from the contamination of the world. It'll get rid of bad past memories that you have, lies that the devil's been telling you for all your life. So you need to make it a priority, a priority, a priority to fill your mind and your heart with the word of God. If he can't penetrate your mind, he can't touch your emotions. So if you're having trouble with your emotions, shore up the mind. Say, "Well, Pastor, pray for me." No, read the word. And it shores up your mind. If he can't get through your mind, he can't get to your heart. He can't wreak havoc in your emotions. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. There's more, but that's enough. Praise God. God is good.